We are on Etzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. We just finished the Mishnah yesterday with the Machlokes Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim regarding whether I can use the kli that was used to cook the karban. Am I able to use that kli all through Yom Tov? Rabbi Tarfon having said, you can use it all through Yom Tov. And the Gemara first tackles Rabbi Tarfon. We'll get to the Chachamim, but first you want to know about Rabbi Tarfon. What is his source for this? And the Gemara is going to present two approaches. So the first approach is based on a pasuk. My time of the Rabbi Tarfon, Tapan Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph. What is Rabbi Tarfon's rationale? The Amar Krok, as the pasuk says, Ufanisa Vaboker Vahalachtali Ohalacha. You shall clear out in the morning. You will turn in the morning, and you will go to your tent. So akasav aso lekulan boker echad. The pasuk makes all successive mornings through Yom Tov into one morning. There's some disagreement between Rashi and Tosfos as to how exactly to take this. Rashi says it means boker of chol. He says al karchach boker shel chol ka'amar. You must be talking about boker that is the weekday, meaning after all the days of Yom Tov are over. The karmilei boker rishon. And it calls it the first morning. So that indicates to me that the entire expanse of Yom Tov, from day 1 through day 7, or day 8, if you're dealing with Sukkot, is going to be called one morning. Tosfos disagrees. He says maybe you go home on Yom Tov. If you live within the Tchum, maybe you're going home on Chol HaMoed. Rather, he says, it's because all of the days of Yom Tov are tashlumin for the first day. If you miss your opportunity to do the karban on day one, you're going to do your olas re'iyah all through Yom Tov. That's what makes all of these one day. The Tosfos also has a very interesting side discussion about the mitzvah of lina, of remaining in the Beis HaMikdash overnight. What exactly does that mean when we say that there's a mitzvah that if you bring a karban, you're supposed to remain overnight? And he comes up with a very interesting idea, which the Sfas Emes builds, that being there, the rule is that if you bring a karban, you're supposed to remain there in the Beis HaMikdash for a night. So the way the Sfas Emes understands what Tosfos is saying here, the way he explains it, is that I have to remain there for a night, whether it's the night after I bring the karban, or whether it's the night before I bring the karban. Either way, I have to remain there for a night in the Beis HaMikdash just to show that I didn't come bring my karban and leave. That's the idea. And he uses it to explain a question about lina for Pesach Sheni. Maybe if there's time at the end, we'll come back to it, because it's an interesting note. But I don't want to pull away from the Gemara too much. But that's our first approach. Rabbi Tarfon says that you can use the same kli all through Yom Tov, because Ufanisa Baboker Valachtali Alecha unifies all of the subsequent mornings of Yom Tov as though they were one big morning. And therefore, the kli can be used the entire time. So Maskif Lo Rabachad Bavi Barami. Rabachad Bavi Barami is not satisfied with this. He asks a strong question. He says, V'chein Pigul Baregel, V'noso Baregel. If you're really freezing time all through Yom Tov, it's all one morning, that means that the laws of Noser don't apply. Right? Nothing's been left over after its proper time, because I can eat this for 2 days, I can eat this for whatever period of time it is. I have all through Yom Tov to eat my karban. The laws of pickle won't apply. If you have a thought while you're bringing the karban that you're going to eat it or whatever, 2 days later, 3 days later, it's okay. That's still within my bokeh rishon. You have frozen time, Rav Achad Bavi Avarami says, and that's ridiculous. We don't believe that that's actually possible. The Chitei Mahachinami, and if you'll tell me that's really true, that sure, you can freeze time. Vatanya, I have a Brisa, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Lo Amar Rabbi Tarfon Ela Zubilvad. The Brisa says Rabbi Tarfon only said this rule regarding Rika and Shtifa, as Rashi says, Elazu Bilvad, Rashi, the first in line, Le'inyin Riko Shtifa Lachuda, only from Rika and Shtifa, Velo Le'inyin Pigul Anosar, not as far as Pigul Anosar, Ve'i Taime Mehai Krohu, if in fact he was using this pasuk to tell me that we consider all of Yom Tov to be a single day, Afil Le'inyin Pigul Anosar Nami, then the rule should be applied consistently. We should apply it across the board. There's certainly nothing inherent in the pasuk of Fanisa Vabokir Valachtali Olacha that tells me that it's about Rika and Shtifa. Rika and Shtifa aren't even mentioned in that section in the Chumash. So that pasuk cannot be about this. Ella, rather, we give our second approach. Kedar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Rabbi Tarfon's reason is not some pasuk. Rather, his reason is rational. It says, Rabbi Nachman says, citing Rabba Baravua, the Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Bechol Yom Vayom, Nase Kol Yom Vayom, I should say, Nase Giul Lachaveiro. Each day, is a gi'ul for the next one. Gi'ul meaning hag'ala, right? The extrusion of the taste that had been there from before when you re-cook with that kli. Rashi explains, oh, nasa gi'ul alachaveiro. Mitoch shashlamim mitsuyin beregel. Because you have carbon of shlamim around during Yom Tov, everybody comes for aliyah leregel, they bring their shlamim. Ein bilua shalan nasa nosar. Therefore, whatever was absorbed in the kli does not become nosar. Shereizman shlamim lebeiz yamin. Because the shlamim may be eaten for 2 days and the intervening night. And just as I'm cooking my shlamim today, isn't it? Tomorrow I'm going to cook another shlamim in it. It's going to absorb whatever is cooked in there the following day. And the way it's going to work is that it's going to extrude that which is swallowed yesterday, that which it absorbed yesterday, and it's going to swallow whatever is new and not the old. So in other words, whatever was cooked in it yesterday is gone as of today's cooking process. Nimsa she'eino bali de nosar. So you'll never reach nosar. V'imbala vashel chatos. And if you're going to cook a chatos in it, which only has 1 day's time, so by the time you hit tomorrow, it's already nosar. He says, no problem. Zoyer or yizoyer levashel achrov shlamim bo bayom. You just cook another shlamim that day in it. Upolet as a chatos. Upolet as a shlamim. It'll extrude the chatos that's in it. And it will absorb the shlamim. So what we're riding on here is the idea that the old belia is extruded and not reabsorbed. That's our assumption. And because that's my assumption, nosar is not an issue, and now my kli no longer requires any sort of process. Which leads the Taras HaKadosh to ask, but you didn't do mriko shtifa. You still haven't done Rika and Shtifa. Don't you need Rika Batzonein? So he follows the view that Tosis expresses back on Tzadi Vav, that Mida Araisa, really, Min Bimino is Batal Barof. Min Bimino, right? I have two carbonos that are absorbed in it. I can be Mavatal, I can nullify whatever was absorbed in the new carbon that's there. And therefore, Rika and Shtifa will not be required, because no, there is no presence of carbon actually in there. That's the idea. So he says, you've eliminated the need for kashering. There's no nosar concern, because the nosar isn't in the kli anymore. And you have nullified the presence of carbon, and therefore, Rika and Shtifa are not necessary. That's the idea. That's the second approach that the Gemara offers. The Dan Zvachim notes, by the way, what about Shabbos when you're not cooking in it? That's okay. Shabbos, I have a 24-hour period when the kli isn't being used. More than 24 hours, actually. You don't cook it up to the last minute before Shabbos, and therefore whatever is absorbed becomes lifgam, becomes a negative taste within the kli. So that's the approach of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, I can use the same kli to cook all through Yom Tov, and I don't need to do Mrika and Shtifa along the way, because whatever was in there from previous day's carbon got extruded and not reabsorbed the following day. That's the approach of Rabbi Tarfon. Whereas the Chachamim said no. The Chachamim says you only have until the Zman Achila. We don't know what that actually means. So the Gemara needs to explain it. Maika Omar, 10 lines down. What did the Chachamim say? Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Mamtin La Ad Zman Achila, Vahadar Aved Lamrika Ushtifa. Literally translated, that means you wait until the time of eating. Let's say it's a 2 day carbon. So you wait 2 days. And then after that, you do Yumriko Ushtifa. That's the literal statement in the Gemara. The problem is that our edition may not be correct. Our edition says you wait until the time for Achila. And indeed, that's the Rambam's position. Meaning, I wait up until the deadline. If the deadline is 5:30, at 5:29, I'm going to do my Riko Ushtifa. At that point, I'm going to do it. Why would I do it at that point, at 5:29 and not at 5:31? In order to avoid the carbon becoming pasul. You want to avoid creating pasul carbonos. So therefore you're going to do your mrika and shtifa right before the deadline. That's the way that our edition says it. Tosfos' edition says you wait kol zman achila. Meaning you wait for it to become nosar. That's the that would be your approach. And once it becomes nosar, that's when you do your mriko shtifa. At that point, you would do it. I thought that was weird because I thought it was weird to say the addition that we have that you're doing it before this zman achila is concluded. Because if you're doing it before this zman achila is concluded, you're actually destroying kachim. I'm destroying a valid carbon by doing my mriko and shtifa. You follow?
Otherwise, you wouldn't have it.
Sorry?
You wouldn't be able to extrude it otherwise.
But you can. You can just wait till after. Wait till it becomes possible. Know what happens.
There's no shear.
Shear meaning?
Well, when you're talking about destroying the carbon, it's just still a carbon, so it's a shear.
Right, so maybe you could argue it's no longer a shear, but in that case, Tosfos' point that the the Rambam's point that you want to do Mrika and Shtifa in order to avoid it becoming possible, I'll ask the same question. Isn't there a shear?
What's better, I think? You should try and do a Cheshbon. Is it better to be over a Lesser Sirum and then a Wad Biker? Or is it better to be Paisa to burn Kachim?
Right, so let's do a Boko. You could argue Lesser Sirum and a Boker, but in any case, I would think the Sheval Tasa would be better. Better for it to go till after its proper time and then do your Mriko Shtifa as opposed to destroying Karbanos when they're still eligible. That's what that would have been my svara. I don't know. We have two different editions in it. We have a Rambam versus a Tosfos. I don't really need to decide that. But it's a very interesting question, this issue of when are we destroying it. Nonetheless, we are indeed destroying it, and the Chachamim's position, the Gemara wants to know, where does it come from? We explained Rabbi Tarfon, where did the Chachamim get this idea? Menahani Mili, where do these laws come from? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Abi Yossi Ben Abba, Ksiv, Umorak Vishutaf, Uchsiv calls a Charba Kohanim Yochalo So. I think I brought it on your sheet. The smichas of the psukim. I didn't save a copy for myself. Thank you. Yeah, it's there. It says in the Kli Nechoshes Bushala Marak Mishutav B'Mayim. If you cooked it in a copper kli, then you do Mrika and Shtifa. And the next pasuk says Calls a Charba Kohanim Yochalo So Kodesh Kodeshimi. That all male Kohanim will eat it. So we link Marak Mishutav to Calls a Charba Kohanim Yochal to the time when it is actually edible. Hakeitzad, how does that work? Mamtin la ad zman achila. You wait until the time for achila. V'hadar avad la mriko shtifa. And then you do your mriko shtifa. So you wait till zman achila. And really, you could read this either Rambam or Tosfos as support for either explanation. Okay. So we had a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim as to whether you can use the kli all through Yom Tov without mriko shtifa or not. We then said mrika and shtifa. Mrika means that you wash out the inside of the cup. Shtifa means you wash the outside of the cup. So the Gemara now brings us a brisa with a machlokas on this point. The machlokas is between Rabbi and the Rabbanan as to what Mrika and Shtifa are in terms of the heat, actually, that's used. Tana Rabbanan brisa says, Mriko Shtifa Bitsone Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi tells us Mrika and Shtifa are both done with cold water. First, it's a cold water wash of the inside of the kli, and then it's a cold water wash of the outside of the kli. V'chachamim omrim, Mrika b'chamin, u'shtifa b'tzonin. The Chachamim disagree and say, no, hot water inside, cold water outside. My time of the Rabbanan, what's the Rabbanan's reasoning for saying this? Midi dehava agiule ov de kochavim. Because it's just like when you kosher things. Giule ov de kochavim is referring to koshering a utensil you get from a non-Jew, where you have to kosher out the treif, as Rashi explains. Dechamin ba'inan, right? You require hot water. Dechsiv, my source is indeed from clay Midian after the war with Midian, when we evidently took kitchen implements. Dechsiv, called the varashe of oba esh, tavir bo esh v'taher. Anything that can go through fire, you pass through fire. So they say, just like that, it's like a koshering process. You require hot water. That's the Rabbanan's first explanation. To which Rebbe says, what are you talking about? Mrika and Shtifa is not a koshering process. Rebbe Amar Lach, Rebbe will say back to you, Hagala lo kamina. I'm not talking Hagala. Ki kamina lemriko Shtifa debasa Hagala. Hagala is separate. Yeah, you do a Hagala. We already said that. I'm talking Mrika and Shtifa, which actually occur after you do your Hagala. The Rabbanan. So what are the Rabbanan going to do? So the Rabbanan say, you're right. You're right. Fine. We can see Mrika and Shtifa are not Hagala. However, we have a second point. In Cain, if you were right that Mrika and Shtifa were both cold water, you should have used the same word twice, because it's the same process. In Cain, if so, Lichtokra, O Morak, Morak, O Shutaf, Shutaf. You should have used the word twice. Mayu Marak Vishutav, why did you change your verbs? To teach me it's two different processes. Shma minam, rika b'chamenu shtifa b'tzoni. That means rika is with hot water, shtifa is with cold water. V'rebi, and Rebbe will say back to you what? Iksiv morak morak, hava mina trei zimni morak, a trei zimni shutav. He says no. Rika and shtifa are fundamentally different. One is inside and one is outside. Had you used the same verb twice, I would have thought twice inside or twice outside. L'kachsiv morak v'shutav, l'malach rika k'mrika zako, shtifa k'shtifa zako. You needed two different verbs. Teach me one is inside and one is outside. Parenthetically, we see this discussion in the Bavas, right? Regarding neshech and tarvis, where they say neshech and tarvis must be two different things, and then they say maybe not. Maybe it's just that the Torah likes using two different words to refer to the same entity, to the same principle, because it sounds nicer within the psukim. Rather than say ribis twice, it says neshech once, and it says tarbis the second time. You remember this? It's stuff samach. I think it's above Metziah Daf Samach. They talk about using different words. It's a principle Radak uses, Malbim uses a lot, called Kefel Inyan B'milim Shonos, doubling a reference to the same item, but doing it with different words, just because it's more poetic. So that could have been an answer. But they have a functional answer, and their answer is, Umorak Vishutaf means two different things, because one is inside and one is outside. So my machlokes, again, regarding this Mrika and Shtifa, is whether Rika is hot and Shtifa is cold, or both of them are cold water. But everybody agrees that the first one is internal and the second one is external. That everyone agrees about. I was going to... Yes?
Amarek means to scrub.
Sorry?
Amarek means to scrub.
Yes, that's the way we use the term. That's right, but it doesn't indicate by definition whether it's inside or outside. That's true. I was going to include a table here of all the laws we've learned about Rika and Shtifa, but then I thought better of it because we might have more to learn. But maybe at some point we'll need a summary of Rika and Shtifa in order to indicate all the different things we've gone through. Okay, so far today we've discussed using the Kli all three Yom Tov or not, and we've discussed Rika and Shtifa, hot water and cold water, inside and outside. We now get to a new Mishnah dealing with mixtures that are absorbed within this Kli. I have a mixture of high-level and low-level entities. Bishalbo kachim v'chulin. If I cooked high-level carbon, or not high-level, I cooked carbonos in a kli, but I also have non-carbonos that are cooked in that kli. O kachim kachim v'kachim kalim. Or I have high-level carbonos and low-level carbonos that are in the kli. Im yesh bahem v'nosein ta'am, hari akalim ne'acholin k'chamurin shebahem. So if there is sufficient quantity in it to actually introduce taste, meaning from the high level entity that's in it. So, that in that case, the chamurin, the more strict, are dominant, and anything that I cook in there is going to have to be eaten following the rules of the stricter entity. So Rashi says, lifnim and aklayim, if you're dealing with kachay kachim, right, has to be eaten in the azara, the yom v'layla, only for a day and a night, assuming those are the rules for the kachay kachim you cooked in there, right? It's a carbon that has only a day and a night. If I had, remember we talked about the other day, we said that you can cook your carbonos with other things. You can cook with spices, we talked about spices of truma, and that sort. So what if I had a carbon to eat, and I also mixed in some non-Kodesh things. This isn't the Kli Sharetz, remember. This isn't the Beis HaMikdash, Kli that's going to sanctify whatever is in it. So I had I wanted to cook my carbon and I wanted carrots in it. Right? I managed to cut my finger this morning peeling potatoes. So I had potatoes, I had chulin potatoes that I mixed in it. So the question is, what's the dominant taste? If the dominant taste is from the kachim or from my finger, then you only have a limited amount of time that you can actually do this. That's number one. Limited time and limited space based on the carbon. Number two, ve'enan te'unin mrika u'shtifa. Number two is that you don't do mrika and shtifa. Now, this is a very big problem because you just told me the dominant taste was the higher level thing, was the carbon. Why am I not doing mrika and shtifa? The Gemara is going to ask that. Just wait for the Gemara. Third, ve'enan poslin b'mago. It will not disqualify on contact. If you take a look at Rashi, he explains, im nifsalu hakalin, if I have high level and low level in it, and the low level became pasul. Vinaga bahen basar ubala mehen, and then basar came in contact with the mixture and absorbed from the mixture, but the mixture is mostly the high level, which is not pasul, ein nifsalin. Then whatever touches it does not become disqualified. So in other words, where the minority was pasul, but the majority was kosher, whatever touches the mixture remains kosher. That's the rule that we're stating. That's the end of the first half of our Mishnah. So when I have a mixture, we follow the dominant entity within the mixture. Second half of the Mishnah. Rikik shenaga berikik. Okay, I have different rikikin, different, they're not really loaves of bread, but they're a mincha, and one of them is pasul, and it touches another one, which was kosher. Vachaticha bachaticha, or a piece of meat, touches another piece of meat. Lo kala rikikin v'lo kala chatichos asurin. We don't say automatically on contact that whatever kedusha it had is communicated to the next one and will disqualify the next one after a period of time, or whatever rules might be applied. Eino asur ela b'makum shebala. It's only the point where the bliya takes place, where there's actual bliya. That's the only case in which there's going to be psul communicated or kedusha communicated. Bliya is required. This is different from the laws of tumah. Right? The laws of Tumah, it's on contact. So Shmuel Alter, the Likutei Basar Likutei, says, this is brilliant Musar. He says, Tumah is communicated on contact. Kedusha requires Belia, that you actually absorb it. The it's easy to become Tameh. It's not as easy to gain Kedusha. That takes a little more work. I like that point. Okay. So that's our Mishnah, two-part Mishnah, one about mixtures and second about Bliya. So we return to the first half of our Mishnah about these mixtures. And the Gemara asks, Maika Omar, what in the world did you say in that piece where you said no Mrika and Shtifa are needed if the majority is higher level? What are you talking about? So the Gemara explains that we're missing something. If you see in the margin, we're actually missing the words Chisuri Mechsara, which is somewhat comical. But if you look in the margin, they put it back in. What did we say? I'm reading out of the margin now. Chisuri Mechsara, you're missing words. V'hachi Kiyotani, and this is the way it should be taught. Back in our Gemara. Im yesh bahen b'no sein ta'am, haray hakalin ne'achalin kachamurin, u'te'unin riko shtifa, u'posin m'maga. If the majority is the more strict item, the kachim, or the kajay kachim, so then that which was lower level is going to be eaten like the higher level, like the chamur, and rika and shtifa will be required, following the schedule of the higher level karbanos, uposlin b'maga, and indeed, the assuming that the higher level was pasul, as Rashi puts in here, then it will communicate that kedusha to whatever it touches to disqualify it if it was pasul and so on. Ein bad v'no same tam, if there isn't enough in the higher level to communicate this to affect the whole, then ein akalin nechalin kachamurin, then you don't follow the higher level. The ein tunim riko shtifa, riko shtifa are not required. The ein poslin b'maga, and it will not communicate any psul, any disqualification on contact. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, I don't understand. One of your cases here was high level with low level. Why wouldn't Rika and Shtifa be required? Low-level karbanos require it. Nehida kachi kachim lo bahu, granted that high-level karbanos may not require the Rika and Shtifa here because they are the minority and they are nullified in the mix, but kachim kalim nibai. The kachim kalim should require it. So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaye. Abaye gives you his first answer. My ein tu'un indika amar. What did we mean when we said Rika and Shtifa are not required? Kachay kachim. It means the high-level karbanos that are in there don't require it. Aba kachim kalim tu'unim. But the low-level ones do. You're right. All we meant was that part of the mix doesn't need it. Rava gives me a different answer. Rava Omar Hamani. Rava says, oh, this is easy. We know this. Who's the author? Rabbi Shimoni. We saw Rabbi Shimon already. Damar Kachim Kalam, Ein Tunim, Riko Shtifa. He says Kachim Kalam don't require Rika and Shtifa. That's easy. So the Gemara says, Bishlam ala Rava. Well, if you give Rava's answer that it's Rabbi Shimon talking, then I understand why my Mishnah needed to tell me about two separate cases, Kachim and Hulin, and Kachay Kachim and Kachim Kalam. Right? Hendiksani, oh, Kachay Kachim, but Kachim Kalam. That's why you needed the extra case, because you also wanted to teach me Rabbi Shimon's rule. And by paskening like Rabbi Shimon without mentioning Rabbi Shimon's name, you're giving me a psak. This is actually what we do. So you wanted to teach me that Kachim Kalam don't require Rika and Shtifa. Hendiksani, oh, Kachay Kachim, but according to Abaye, who says that, no, everybody agrees that Mrika and Shtifa are required. In that case, why did you bother to mention both things? Why did you mention Kachim with Chulin and Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim? Ta'el Lavaye, Ta'ati Lamali. So he says, Sricha, you needed both. Why? De'itana kachim v'chulin, hava amina chulin hu de'mevatli kachim, de'lav minayu. Ava kachim kachim v'kachim kalam emolo. Had you only mentioned carbon and non-carbon, I would have said, sure, that's min v'she'eno mino. For our purposes, we define min as carbon, non-min as non-carbon, even though they're both meat. So I would have said it's min b'she'eno mino, and therefore, if the minority is carbon, then the majority that's chulin can nullify it. Avo kache kachim v'kachim kalam emalo. But carbonos are all the same, even if they have slightly different rules for certain things, where you can eat it, when you can eat it. They're fundamentally similar, and I would have said no nullification takes place. Avo kache kachim v'kachim kalam emalo. V'itana kache kachim v'kachim kalam, and had you only taught me the case of high and low level carbonos, havamina kachim hu da'alume levatule kachim avachulin emalo. I would have said carbon can nullify carbon, but chulin is not strong enough to nullify carbon. I would have said the fundamental rule that we apply all through Zvachim, and really all through Kachim in general, is the house always wins. The Beis HaMikdash always wins. You can't nullify carbonos. That would have been my assumption. So therefore, you need to give me both cases. Therefore, Tzricha, you needed to mention both. So the upshot of this last piece is that Mrika and Shtifa are going to be needed. Absolutely. Kachim Kachim or Kachim Kalim, if you don't follow Rabbi Shimon, that's for sure going to be true. And the rule is, in general, we're going to follow the majority within this mixture to determine how we act as far as the requirements of when we're going to eat it and whether Psul will be communicated. Whether it's Karban and Chulin or whether it's Kachim Kachim, Kachim and Kachim Kalim. We follow the majority. Okay. Everyone good so far? That wasn't a yes. Okay. Rikik shenaga berikik v'chule. We then said, this moving over to the second half of our Mishnah, that we communicate status based on blia, absorption, not just based on contact. Satana Rabbanan, the Brisa now explains what the rules are from the Pasuk. And I brought the Pasuk here on the sheet. It's worth it to see the Pasuk. Kol asher yigav b'vsara yikdash. Okay, anything that touches its flesh will become kodesh. So Tana Rabbanan, kol asher yiga, anything that touches. That sounds like it's just contact, just like for tumah. Yochal afilu shalo bala, I might think even without absorption. Tama lomar bivsara, no, because the pasuk says bivsara in its flesh. Acheyivla bivsara, until it actually swallows in its flesh. Meaning you require absorption. That's what you actually require. A physical absorption. It's not just taste. Rashi says you can't learn the principle here of tam ki ikar, that taste is considered like substance within halacha, because it's not. Here it's actually absorption of physical substance. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, Yachol Naga b'miktsas chaticha yekulo pasul. I might think that automatically, once there's contact, whatever it touches becomes pasul in its entirety. Tamalomar yiga. No, because the pasuk does say contact. That's to teach me hanogeya pasul. Only the part that is in contact becomes disqualified. Haketzad, so how does this play out? Chotech es makom shabala. You cut off the point that absorbed the carbon, and that's it. Of course, if you cook it, then it might spread through the entire thing. But if it's just cold, then it's only the point where the absorption took place. Further, bivisara, the brisa continues, in its flesh, velo begidin, velo batzamos, velo bekarnayim, velo betzlafayim. Only if you touch the flesh of the carbon does absorption take place. Not if you touch the gidin, the sinews. Not if you touch the bones. Not if you touch the horns. Not if you touch the hooves. No absorption will take place of any significance from those parts. And then finally, yikdash will become holy. Lios kamoa, they have the same status as the carbon. Haketzad, how does that work? Impsulahi, if the carbon is pasul, tipasul, then it becomes disqualified. Then ksherei, and if it's kosher, te'acha kachomer shabba, then whatever it touches will be eaten in the same, with the same rules as the stricter of the two. So if what it touched can only be eaten for a day, that's the way it works. Whatever touches it can only be eaten for a day. End of brisa. So the Gemara asks, really? Amai? Why is this true that it will become disqualified for that? Let's say I have a high level carbon that touches a low level carbon. Okay? And my high-level carbon was pasul. It touches the low-level carbon. Now the low-level carbon becomes pasul. He says, wait a minute. V'nesi asei, v'letchias lo sasei. I have a mitzvah sasei of eating my low-level carbon. Let that override the lo sasei from the psul of the carbon it touched. That's my argument. The Tosfos says we're not dealing with a noser psul, because if it was a noser psul, then there will be kares, and an asei does not override a los asei with kares. But that's my challenge. Asei docha los asei. You know that rule. So the Gemara offers two answers. Amar Rava. Rava says ein asei. It should say asei, not osei. Ein asei docha es los asei sheba mikdash. He says when you're in the Beis Hamikdash, the rule of asei docha los asei is suspended. Asei does not override los asei. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, the etzim losish beruvo. You shall not break a bone in it. What does that have to do with anything? That's regarding the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Shimon ben Anasya Omer, Echad Etzem Sheish Bomach, Ve'Echad Etzem She'ein Bomach. That applies even if the bone has marrow inside. You're still not allowed. The Sefer HaChinuch says, Dafka. It's teaching me a lesson. Don't break the bones to get the marrow, because at the Korban Pesach, you're like a king. And the king doesn't need to get the marrow inside the bones. The king can always just order up more meat. But in any case, he says that you can't break the bones to get to the marrow. Amai, why? Nesi asei belitchias los asei. Why doesn't the asei of eating my carbon override the los asei of don't break the bones? Ella ein asei docha los asei shebemikdash. The answer is asei docha los asei doesn't apply when you're dealing with carbonos. Flat rule, asei docha los asei is not germane. Rav Ashi gives me another answer. Rav Ashi omar yigdash aseihu. Rav Ashi says, because the pasuk says, kol asher yigabiv sarah yigdash, will become holy. That's a mitzvah asei, treat it as holy. Vein asei docha los asei vasei. So now it's my asei of eat the carbon versus the los asei of the psul and the asei of yigdash. And one asei does not override an asei and a los asei in combination. I can't resist. Rav Yosef Engel says, you know why asei docha los asei doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash? Ramban says, and Maharal amplifies this, that mitzvah asei is about ahava, showing love of Hashem. Los asei, observing the los asei, is about yiras Hashem. So ordinarily, ahava overrides yira. Ava is a higher level than yira. But the Beis HaMikdash is the place of mora, is the place of ohav Hashem. Right? You have a mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash. It's Mano Roha HaMakom HaZeh. Yaakov says when he's at Har HaBayis. Right? It's a place of Yira. So therefore, your Asei cannot override your Los Asei in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Los Asei, the Yira, trumps the Ava in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a fascinating idea. And it's Rabbi Yosef Engel, who you know, is really somebody. So I like that. With the Shiti Rao. Yes. And you could argue, I told this to a friend yesterday, and he said to me, on the other hand, it might be like Mora, like Ishimova Vivti Rao, you need to compensate because there's really Ava in the Mikdash. You could argue the point, but it's of Yosef Engel, so I'm not going to. In any case, we asked the question of how it is that the kasher becomes treif. What about Asei Dochalos Asei? Either Asei Dochalos Asei doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, or it's Asei versus Los Asei and Asei. Last point. Ashkechon chatas dimiskadish bebilua. He says, okay, that's fine. I understand your rule regarding the carbon chatas. If something touches the carbon chatas and absorbs from it, it absorbs the status of the chatas. But sha'ar kadshim minalan. How do you know that's true if other carbonos are touched? You mentioned a rekik before. That's a mincha. How do you know that this is going to apply regarding all carbonos? So we quote a heavy-duty brisa, which is going to take us well into the next page. Based on a pasuk, which I brought on your sheet, it lists a whole bunch of carbonos. Each entity mentioned in that pasuk has a separate lesson to teach us, as follows. We're not going to do the whole brisa today. But Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Zos Hatara La'olav La'minchav La'chatas V'la'asham V'la'miluim L'zevach HaShlamim. Here's the pasuk. They took it from my page. La'olav Ki Ola. First of all, we say Ola to teach me other carbonos are like the Ola. Ma Ola Te'una Kli, I've called Te'una Kli. The Ola requires a vessel, a Beis HaMikdash vessel. So to all of them do. To which he says, what? My Kli, what Kli? Ilema Mizrak, if you mean that you have to catch the blood in the Mizrak, Bishal Meitzibur Namiksibu, Vaikach Moshe Chatzia Damba Yasim Baganos. I know for other Kalim, for other Karbanos, I have Psukim that teach me to use a Kli. You don't need. That's fine, but it's a Shal Meitzibur. Why can't I deduce from there? Why do I have to deduce from the Ola? Ela disakin. That, he says, that's not what we mean. We mean the knife in particular. You have to use a knife, which is a cliché race. Not just a knife. Everyone knows you need a knife for shechita. The point is, and Rashi is actually printed on the next page, he explains, ordinarily for shechita, I can use all sorts of things that don't qualify as a cliché race. Right? I can use stone, I can use a finger, there are all sorts of things I can use for shechita, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, your shechita has to be done with a kli sharis. That's what you're learning from Ola. V'ola gufa medalan, how do you know when Ola requires that? Dichsiv, v'yishlach Avraham es yadov, v'yikaches ha-ma'acheles, regarding Yitzchak, it says he took the ma'acheles, v'hasam Ola hu dichsiv, v'yalei le'ola, tachas b'no. We know Yitzchak was intended to be an Ola, because when he brings the ram, he brings the ram as an olah. He doesn't quote the pasuk of the ha'alehu, which might also have been taken to mean an olah. But he quotes this part of it by the akedah. He was intended to be an olah, and Avram uses a ma'acheles, and we understand the ma'acheles to be a reference to an actual metal knife. Okay. So it has to be a klisharis. Mincha, we're still in that brisa. What does the word mincha teach me in that pasuk? Ma mincha ena ne'achelas ela lezichrei kahuna. The mincha is only consumed by male kohanim. Av kol enam ne'achalim ela lezichrei kahuna. So to all these karbanos may only be consumed by male kohanim. Maihi. What do you mean? Which karbanos are you talking about? Which karbanos are you deducing from mincha? I chatas v'asham behayik sibu, because the karbakonim yochlenu. I knew the law for chatas and asham. V'isham eit sibur, and if it's from the communal shlamim, ribuya dekrasi. I learned that from psukim themselves, because the pasuk says, b'kodesh hakadoshim tochlenu, kol zachar yochal oso. Since you say by the Shalmei Tzibur they have to be consumed in Kodesh HaKadoshim, and by males, I know it's male Kohanim. Those are the only ones who are going to be there. So he says, Tanoihi. You're right. In fact, it's a machlokes Tanoim as to how I know the rule. Some bring it from Shalmei Tzibur, and some bring it from our source. And then, last piece of the brisa that we'll do today, Chatas, the pasuk says, Ma chatas miskadeshes or mikadeshes bibilua, I've called mikadeshes or miskadeshes bibilua. Just like the chatas communicates kedusha to anything it touches when absorption takes place, so to all of these karbanos will communicate with absorption. And we'll pick up with that in the middle of the brisa, God willing, tomorrow.